Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners Tyler Cook and Tony Payne. What's up, guys?
Having another great day.
Yeah, you ready to get into it?
I am excited.
We talk a lot about Roth IRAs in our business, and I want to get into how the Roth conversion strategies look across life stages. So first, I want to tell people what is a Roth IRA, and then maybe talk about the conversion part first.
Professor Plain.
All right, fine. Yeah. A Roth IRA, it's a type of IRA, so an individual retirement account. So it's really an account that you can set up across different platforms, brokers. You know, you see all the bigger companies out there sometimes at a bank. You know, it's up to you, but I'm just illustrating. It's something that you can open in a lot of different places because it's a type of account. So just like there's the individual retirement account, there's also a Roth IRA that allows a little different tax treatment. So before we go into that one, Tyler,
who's Roth? Roth?
Well, I was going to explain the traditional, but
oh, go ahead, yeah, please.
Yeah, the traditional IRA is the one we normally think of. When you put money in there, you get a tax benefit. You get a tax deduction. The money gets to grow tax deferred, and then when you take it out, you pay taxes on the growth and the money you put in there. So you're able to get tax deferred growth is really the, you know, when you do the math and crunch the numbers, it grows a lot better than if you were paying taxes all along the way. So already an IRA is a great tool. So I'm going to keep going a little bit.
But yeah.
Now the Roth IRA is a little different. You don't get a tax benefit right when you put it in there. So if this is money you earn that year, you're paying taxes on it, you put it in the Roth IRA, there's limits on it too. How much you make, how much you can put in there. So we'll keep it higher level for now. But once you put that money in there, what it is, let's say it's $1,000. You've invested it. You invested it well. It's grown. Now it's $50,000. When you're of retirement age and you go to take that money out, all $50,000 is yours. You've paid your taxes initially. So the growth on that, the initial contribution on that, you can take all that back out with no taxes. So that's where it's a really neat thing, especially the more time you might have to let money grow.
It sounds to me like it makes better sense to open the Roth when your income is at its lowest point.
Sometimes it does.
But we see people older, my age, old, that open Roth IRAs. Ish. Does that make sense?
Well, that's kind of the strategy. That's where the conversion idea comes in. Because to Tony's point, let's say you were making traditional IRA contributions all those years, and maybe even what we call pre-tax 401k contributions, where you're getting that tax benefit now, but that also means you're going to have to pay tax later. The conversion idea comes up in a couple of different contexts, but people in their later years too would say that maybe it's a technique for the next generation as far as letting the next generation inherit money tax-free. We'll get to that in a second. But the idea being, I saw your face like,
yeah,
wait, what? I'll go there in a second.
Yeah, I'm like a dog. I just, yeah, it was almost dog-like that I just felt it happen.
Let's keep it a little, we're still talking about an IRA.
Yeah. So go back to that. So the basic part of the conversion idea is you've got a lot of your money in a pre-tax bucket versus Roth, right? Two different worlds. And you want to convert some of that pre-tax into that favorable Roth category, like Tony was saying, so that later when you take the money out, you don't have to pay the tax.
So you're saying from the traditional.
Yep.
So why would you want to do that?
For the benefits of what Tony said.
As opposed to all of it.
Well, how much tax do you want to pay? Because you're saying I want to actually pay the tax now, pay the tax now to not have to pay it later.
Gotcha.
And to put a picture with it too, you know, you've been working, you've been saving. There's around $1 million in that 401k to take all million and convert that to a Roth. Mm-hmm. That's $1 million of income that they're going to say, put you in the highest tax bracket, go through that. So that's where there's some massaging sometimes of what's the sweet spot.
I even got that question the last couple of years with all these tax changes is should we do a larger, sometimes they call mega Roth conversions or backdoor stuff. We'll get to that too. But the idea was, should we actually intentionally pay more tax now? The assumption being that the current tax bill didn't get extended and we would go back to higher tax rates. So really hard to plan around, you know, what Congress is going to do. So if you stick to the actual planning techniques of what's right for your plan with these conversions, that's the first starting point.
My lay brain is kicking in. So if it's a strategy to use a traditional IRA, I think, a traditional IRA as almost a tax strategy later, So you're saving and saving and saving, and then later on you're pulling little chunks out of it and putting it into the Roth. Which one? Why bother at all with the traditional, I guess, is my question. What's the point?
It's really the tax deduction. You want a tax deduction in the year that you're making those contributions.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of year by year, of course, on which one's better. But yeah.
And then the other
piece. And then you're protecting it by moving it into the Roth later.
From future taxes.
From future taxes.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
And the other piece, too, is depending on your income, you may not be eligible for a Roth IRA. So depending upon how much you make, if you're single or married to, as a couple, how you're filing your taxes matters. So there comes a point where with some people, they're not able to fund a Roth IRA. So that's the other piece where you make too much, you have a 401k at work, maybe you're not able to do that. So now we're talking about maybe a Roth 401k. We'll get in there later, but
can we give people that number? Or do they change too much to tell them?
The phase outs?
Yeah. The income qualification.
They change.
Income qualifications.
It really too depends upon how your standard deduction or your itemized. So there's a flow of operations that with your tax person, you'll be able to hopefully massage even a partial, because if you're on the borderline, there's phase outs. So sometimes it's not all or none. Yeah. You might be able to do a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
But how silly is this? I've never understood this. So it's called the backdoor Roth, to what Tony's saying. You make too much money in the IRS's eyes, right? And so they say you can't send money directly to your Roth IRA, but you can put it into this traditional account and then immediately send another form to convert it to Roth. And why do they do that? Well, they want it's a tax piece, right? Mm-hmm. That you have to pay the taxes on it now. So they're kind of, the higher income earners are limited.
Sam.
Yeah, right? All these rules. Yeah, exactly. So, but that's called the backdoor Roth. So you're taking a backdoor, a different route to get money into the Roth IRA versus sending money directly to the Roth IRA at the start.
And you hear people conflate that so much, and just us planners too, especially, we're the worst at it. You make it sound like it's just one maneuver and it's so easy and it's just a matter of fact. There are steps there that if you do not follow them, you're going to be doing paperwork nightmares for the next 6 months.
No doubt.
Going back and forth with either your custodian, maybe the IRS, maybe the state as well. So the idea of this is a little bit more complicated. And when you do this, you want to be sure that you're doing it with all the considerations.
Yeah.
So for those who are kind of saying, why do I want to pay taxes now instead of later, and they don't want to trigger a huge tax bill to have regrets later, how do they gauge if it's worth it?
So we have all sorts of calculators and tools to do that, but it's projections. So you're making some assumptions along the way. The biggest one, like Tony said earlier, is what's your tax bracket going to be when you are ready to take the money out later in life? Who knows? Congress can change that tomorrow, right? We have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
What's the rate of return going to be in the middle time, right? From the, say you convert the money now, that money that you converted into the Roth, what's that going to earn between now and when you take it out? So there's a lot of variables that go into that.
Mm-hmm.
I think just knowing bigger picture, it's specific to each case. So it's not a blanket statement by any means, but that's what you'll see on TikTok and Instagram, everywhere else, is just saying it's the greatest thing ever. But you really have to dig in and see, does it make sense for me? Because if you tell me, if you don't do it right, to your point, IRS comes knocking, you don't have supporting documents and the proper IRS forms, the form called 8606 on your tax return, right? There's all sorts of things you have to do it correct. It's not just, it's advertised as like the greatest idea ever.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people it might be, but for a lot it's
not. That's the way TikTok is.
Well, yeah, right.
It's the all positive site.
Oh, yeah.
And to illustrate that though, what you're saying, Tyler, I mean, you asked it earlier, Tracy, why would somebody fund that pre-tax thing if they're going to pay tax later? Well, maybe they are in a higher tax bracket now. They're going to retire at some point. They're not going to have any other income. They could take that money out at a lower tax rate than what they're earning it at now.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there is that math too, and that's what you were saying. It's not an all or none. This is where I would recommend typically have a diversified basket.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have Roth monies, pre-tax monies, even after-tax monies that you can access. There are all different reasons why you want to have these different buckets, but when you have a variety of them, that gives you the most flexibility later in life.
And we talked about kind of the different stages of life and when this would be appropriate. Of course, there's a nuance to all that, but let's jump to somebody who's 60 or older, right? That magic number is 59 and a half that the IRS puts on when you can take money out of a Roth IRA and not have penalties, with a few exceptions. There's a few exceptions there. But when you're even 65 and you're now on Medicare and you think the Roth conversion is the best thing because it's going to have some other benefits to you later, well, you better be aware of what that does to your Medicare premiums.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you're intentionally showing income now And that can domino effect into other parts of the plan where you actually end up paying higher Part B Medicare premiums 2 years down the road. Wow. You had no idea. So there's so many things that it ties into. But generally speaking, Roth IRAs in general are great. Mm-hmm. I'd say that as a standard. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you should do the conversion aspect, whole other conversation.
Okay. In my research, I'm looking at the 20s and 30s mm-hmm. age bracket to sort of build a tax-free future, at least in theory. When you're younger, you have a lower tax bracket. Typically, your income is just only going to grow as you get older. Usually,
hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And the long time horizon means more potential. So if you're just starting out, does it make sense to think about this now? I mean, that's really young. I mean, heck, I'm sitting here thinking of the 20 and 30 year olds that I know. It's hard enough to get them to save money, let alone put money in a retirement account. They see retirement as pie in the sky.
Yeah.
They think, oh, I've got all kinds of time to take care of this, and they don't understand how quickly it comes.
Since we're pulling out the calculators or being able to just reference that compound interest over time, what does that do? And especially when you compare that to a depreciating asset, which is possible with other cash. You know, I can do anything I want with my dollar. I could spend it. I could save it. You know, there are different options with different outcomes. And I think showing that and the impact of what that dollar saved looks like in 30 years, that usually speaks for, somebody usually gets pretty excited, yeah. motivated. And the further you get away from that by talking, bigger strategies, high-level stuff, then you kind of lose some of the why in your excitement.
You're saying shoes versus retirement account.
That happens, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a blanket statement, so it's very general. But, 20s and 30s, take advantage of that Roth as much as you possibly can. Because the goal is your income is going to be high enough where at some point you might not be able to contribute to it.
Yeah, and the argument, though, is I don't make enough money to even feed myself, let alone put it in a retirement account. I'll do that later. So, but
there's no minimums on these Roth IRAs. Mm-hmm. Put $20 in a week. You can afford $20 a week, mm-hmm. right? People can mm-hmm. find that. We all learned that during COVID, at least for me personally, when we all had to stop expenses, the world shut down. It's like, oh, I could cut back.
No, you can do it.
I don't do that anymore, all right? But the idea is, you can find ways, right? And it's not fun. Sometimes it's not fun, right? It's discipline, but it'll pay off in the long run. And that's what the younger generations just don't seem to grasp.
Yeah, I was going through these numbers actually recently with somebody I know. And this was back in the time when the caramel macchiatos were like $6.
Why are you still going?
I don't know why, because I like saying caramel macchiato. But yeah. I know you liked your caramel macchiatos. I used to tease you about it. But you gave those up.
Still are. I did.
Oh, yeah. So, and I remember that conversation because that was when I first started working here. And we were kind of joking back and forth, and I was like, why don't you just cut out your caramel macchiatos?
Yeah.
And I started doing the numbers, $6, just round it out to $6 a day times 5 days a week. We'll just take the work week.
No, it was on the weekends too.
and it might have even been more than one. Like, some people have one, they go shopping, they'll have another one. So if you're doing the math, it was in the thousands, like
easily.
$10,000 a year or $6,000 a year or something over the course of the year.
It's crazy. It adds up quickly. But my point is you can find ways to pay yourself first.
Yeah.
And it just takes discipline. But there are maximums on the Roth IRA, but there's no minimum.
Well. And on the other side, because again, we're never about absolutes. So the 20, 30 year olds who are making decent money or their circumstances are a little different with their finances, think about somebody who, I think you had a dream one day of being in a boy band, Tyler.
We're picking on Tyler today.
So you know what? If the success was there and you were in your 20s and 30s and
what
now
was your
you're,
name?
Now you're
Teach
not as
Whizzle
exciting
or
as
No. You're in your high school, you do one NSYNC dance for your girlfriend and then you can never
I'm going to keep going with this real financial example.
If
I
need
to cut
this,
part.
We need to cut.
If I can get back to
video of that up on the
Tracy, if I can. The planning piece though is right now. If we're painting Tyler back to that, you're that young celebrity. You're out there making money. Well, then the next 30, 40, 50 years that you're supposed to live on that money. Well, then paying taxes on it when you made it. You were in your highest tax bracket. You lost 40% of that
Great
maybe
point.
Or something.
Yeah.
So the idea of what if I deferred that money, put it in a 401k, a pension plan, other things that you might be able to set up if you're a business owner. And now the next 40, 50 years, poor Tyler here, he's getting a little older. He's not as popular. He's hitting the mall circuit. Well, now you can withdraw from that IRA in your lower tax bracket because, hey, I need 50, 60K this year to supplement what I'm doing. That's a lot easier than, hey, I paid half of that in taxes when I was really big because this guy's told me to. That's the difference. So again, I'm running with an example there, but depending upon your income, that's where take your phase of life.
Yep.
And you might say, is it better for me to not pay the tax now? Or maybe it is. I hope that one made sense. I tried to go around the world there.
I just got a little distracted because of your example.
I know.
We're good.
It's just about when you make your most money, really, is the idea. And if it's early on in life, then the Roth might not be the way.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about 40s and 50s, and those are pretty strategic times, I think, right? That's the pivotal time where people really start to kick in and get
those
serious.
Those are usually your power earning years. We'll say it that way.
Right.
All right. So can they do it in chunks, or is it all or nothing?
So every year, it's a resets every year. So it's based on your AGI, adjusted gross income, every single year, and where the phase outs happen and those things. So you might have one big year, you might have a really high commission year, a big bonus or something that hits, and so you're ineligible maybe to make the contributions, or might be have lower income years where you could actually make the contribution. So it all is year by year, but especially with business owners, if there's a fluctuation in that, some years it might make sense to do the Roth conversion idea if you can't contribute to it. Or you could actually do some other strategies too, just to set yourself up to have the different buckets. I can't stress that enough to what you said before. So having a Roth bucket, whether you're 20, whether you're 70, it's a good idea.
Is there a concern that would put you in a higher tax bracket?
Doing a conversion?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you're recognizing tax brackets. So what we'll do is a lot of times is look at the marginal brackets, and those work in bands, different bands, right? And so you kind of take the high end of whatever band you think you're in, and if there's room to go where you can still pay tax at your same rate but not bump you up to the next level, well, then maybe that's how you dial in how much you should convert. Because it's very customized. You can convert an entire account. You can convert $1,000, right? There's no limitation in that sense. But you are recognizing income, so you are increasing your tax bill.
Is there a strategy from early years to this point in your life that really makes a huge difference, other than just saying to be more disciplined in your contributions?
When you're planning it out, and this is, again, for those who really want to get after it and working towards retirement, to have, and again, sometimes you'll hear people just fully fund retirement accounts. That's the only thing in the world that they're all tax advantage. Do that. But if you're planning to retire at 50, you're not going to be able to tap into most of those. So the idea of, you know what, if I build an after-tax bucket, basically a brokerage account, if I'm able to invest in that account, well, when I'm 50 and I'm retired and I'm taking money out, that's not taxable income. That's capital gains tax you might pay on your gains. So if I've got a well-thought-out plan, all those years that I was earning, deferring my taxes in my 401k, maybe I was taking that traditional and getting a tax deduction. Well, now I've got my bucket of money, my after-tax, my brokerage account. I can fund lifestyle with that. And in the meantime, I can do that Roth conversion Tyler's talking about because I'm 50. I've got very low income. I've almost got my full tax, my first bracket, that 10, 12%, depending upon where we're at, to be able to say, let me convert that rather than when I was younger earning that big dollar and maybe paying 40% almost in taxes. So I'm trying to paint the picture of the whole strategy, but if you do it that way, you can really maximize the savings.
If somebody's, this is my notes is talking because this part is over my head, so I'm going to read this to you. If somebody is retired and not taking RMDs, and we're talking required minimum distributions out of their retirement accounts, is it their last chance to convert?
Last chance?
No, you can convert whenever you want.
So you can continue that process.
Yeah, making contributions, there's limits, but converting, there's not. So, in fact, that's a great example. I just saw this recently of a scenario where somebody inherited quite a bit of money and that could fund their lifestyle. So the strategy we recommended was stop taking IRA distributions. You're going to look very tax poor, which is wonderful, all on the up and up. But it opened the door, so should we do some Roth conversions? Because we could do it at a very low tax bill. So the ebbs and flows of that certainly are a real thing. But I think from the strategies, I want to get into the Roth 401k you mentioned earlier. That's another good example. But was there anything else on that one, Trace, before?
The window between retirement and age 73, when RMDs start, can be ideal, right?
Yeah.
And then converting during low-income years can reduce future RMDs and taxes.
That, exactly right. So the RMD, that required minimum distribution, only applies to traditional IRAs, not Roth IRAs. It applies to some 401ks and things like that. But just sticking with the IRA.
I like how you looked at me when you
cleaned. I got to look at the compliance guy first. Good. So just there are talking just strictly IRAs. So one of the strategies we get asked about a lot is, yeah, should I convert some of my traditional pre-tax money now in order to reduce the required minimum distribution later in life? Right now it's age 73. It's set to go to age 75 later. So that is a real thing. Sometimes it makes sense. Other times it doesn't. Because what you have to ask yourself is, the first thing I do at least, is how long is it going to take you to make that money back that you're paying in tax now? And that's the unknown. That's where the projections come in on what's the return going to be, what's the tax rate's going to be. You just don't know. So you have to take some assumptions there. But it is a real thing. If you do convert money now, you are reducing required minimum distributions later, assuming the account doesn't just grow right back to where it was where you started.
How does that all work into estate planning at that age?
The estate planning part that I see a lot is it's legacy planning for the next generation, where parents come to us and say, I want my kids or grandkids to inherit some of this money without tax consequences. Mm-hmm. And if it's in the Roth IRA, and they pass away, then the money that goes to those beneficiaries is tax-free. They have to take it out. There's rules on distributions, but when they take that money out as a beneficiary of a Roth IRA, there's no tax.
Okay.
And it's interesting because that also challenges some of the traditional logic of, do you take money out of your Roth IRA first, last? What's your distribution strategy? And again, the idea of just leave that one last for the kids may not always make sense, especially if they're already in a lower tax bracket or maybe they're not earning. I mean, the idea of you stretching your retirement dollars out for you, that's who you saved it for in the first place, I think. That's really important to know that because, again, when you think about stretching money when you're in your 80s or 90s and you don't want to go back to work or you can't, your health is failing, you know what? That extra money really matters. Yeah. So those decisions you made when you're in your 60s, 70s, that's 20 years later almost that those consequences are going to impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. So how do you know if the conversion fits your plan overall is the biggest question I have. How do you determine, what's the first step that somebody can take to determine if it's the right move for them?
I kind of rephrase
at any age.
Yeah, I rephrase it back as a question to whoever's asking. Say, what's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish by doing this? And that can lead you during different paths. Or I saw it on TikTok. Whatever. So you have to kind of get some framework around why they want to do it, and then that's specific for each scenario.
Okay. Common mistakes and how to avoid them.
Yeah. Not doing it.
Yeah.
That's a common mistake. You're living. You're working. It's easy. You've got the kids' soccer game, you're running around, you've got the next project up at work. When do you take the time to deliberately say, oh, do I have a little extra in my marginal tax bracket to convert $15,000 this year? Yeah. Unless you're doing that deliberately as part of a process each and every year, you're probably leaving something on the table. So that's the idea of make sure you're going through the exercise.
Yeah, not doing it in the context of it's not right for everybody.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Yep. But at least look at it.
Yeah.
At least review the
exactly.
strategy.
Thank
right?
you.
Yeah, review the strategy and make sure if it's – maybe it's a good year to do it. Maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. I want to shift on you for a second. Just go back to that Roth 401k. I don't want to overlook that. That's so cool. The Roth 401k, so you've got – it's real, all we're talking about is the tax treatment really. So pre-tax is what a lot of people do. They put money in. It reduces their tax bill now, which is great. It grows for retirement and so forth, and then you take it out
later.
That's
through the employer.
Correct. Well, yeah, or if you're self-employed, just 401ks in general.
Right.
Yeah,
through the employer.
Yeah, through your employer. The Roth option, not all plans have this, but some plans allow you to make Roth 401k contributions. The reason why that's attractive is that some people are doing really well. Remember, Roth IRAs have contribution limits. You can only put, right now it's $7,000 for anybody that's under age 50. If you're over 50, you can do a catch-up contribution, but just generally speaking, $7,000 a year. 401k limits right now are $23,500 per person. So you could get a lot more money into that Roth category by using your 401k. Granted, you don't get the deduction today, which is fine. You're setting yourself up for the long term. But you can look at that strategy. And some people will split it. They'll put half of the $23,500, just cut that right in half. They'll put $12,000 rounding, of course, into pre-tax and another $11,300.
I like this math on the fly.
Don't hurt
11,500. Thank you. Yeah, it was confusing. Public math is hard. They'll put the difference in the Roth, so it's kind of split their tax treatments.
You're saying from the 401k to the Roth?
So it's within the 401k plan itself. Okay. So you got two buckets. You have your pre-tax and your Roth. You can split your contributions between the two, or you can pick one, all pre-tax or all Roth. But that's something you should look at too, especially during open enrollment, because maybe that wasn't an option last year, but maybe it is this year.
Does it ever make sense if you have a Roth and you also have a 401k, a basic 401k, does it ever make sense to convert your entire Roth into your 401k through your employer?
You lost me on that one.
If you've got a Roth IRA account,
yeah,
and you have a job where you also have a 401k, uh-huh, separate accounts, right? Does it ever make sense to convert that? I guess it's more of a rollover, isn't it? If you were rolling your Roth into your 401k.
Normally it's the other way. Like you're taking money. Normally it works the other way, where money comes from the 401k and goes to the IRA world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I misunderstood.
But with rollovers, you can move things in and out. But yeah, generally speaking, it would be Roth IRAs as kind of separate bucket.
And there is something there. I don't want to confuse things, but there is something there about in-service distributions and rollovers and IRAs that probably a little bit more in depth for today. But for those listening who might be catching on there there's a lot more going on with those in-service rollovers too,
yeah,
that you got to watch out for.
Okay. Yep. This has been really enlightening. Thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in today. We hope you catch us on the next podcast.
Media, think big.